Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath. You've been listening to the Breath of Life radio broadcast, a ministry of Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 4615 South MacArthur Drive. That's the corner of MacArthur Drive and Willow Glen Street in Alexandria. You are cordially invited to worship with us each Saturday morning at 9 a.m. for Sabbath school and 10 a.m. for divine worship. Prayer meetings are held each Tuesday at 7 p.m. Maranatha continues to offer to our listeners free of charge Bible study lessons in a colorful and easy to understand format. A beautiful certificate is issued upon completion. The Extreme Praise Ministries is also sponsored by Maranatha. It is a community-based youth ministry of approximately 75 area youth. Its ministries include skits, puppetry, mimes, drama interpretation, praise dancing, and more. To request Extreme Praise Ministries for bookings at your church, family reunion, street ministry, or other events, or to request free Bible study lessons, please phone us at 448-4059 or toll-free at 800-779-1787. Send comments or questions to P.O. Box 5502, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Thank you for listening to the Breath of Life broadcast. See you at Maranatha next Sabbath.
This is radio station KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. Gospel radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
With Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
I'm asking you, consider your ways. Are you pleasing God? Do you have a burning desire on the inside to please God? Where's your desire for God? Sometimes we get caught up in our own world that we think that life is all about me being pleased. Life ain't about you being pleased. Life is about pleasing God. He should be the object of our worship, the object of our affection, the object of our desire, the object of our purpose. It should be the Lord. There should be nobody in your heart greater than Him. I know it's quiet in here on Mother's Day, but I'm trying to help mamas and daddies. We need the zeal of God, that enthusiasm. We need to recover the fire, the fervor, the boiling over passion for God. I can remember when I got saved, how that day when the Lord showed me that giant chalkboard with all my sins on it. I saw all my sins on this giant chalkboard. That board was covered. There was no place to even write another sin. There were sins written on top of sins. The Lord showed me my sinful life because I had asked God to forgive me and to let me start my life over. I said, Lord, will you forgive me for everything I've ever done, thought, or said? Will you forgive me? He said, I'll forgive you. And then He gave me a vision of all my sins on a chalkboard. And then I saw Him take a giant eraser and He began to clean the board from the right side to the left side he went. And he erased all of my sins. He cleaned that board up. And when he got to the other side, on the left side, and they were all gone, he turned to me and he said, "See, I have forgiven you all your sins. They are all gone. I don't remember them anymore." And when I saw that the Lord had erased my record of sin, that it no longer existed, then a zeal came inside of me. Oh, an enthusiasm came into my heart, and I prayed a prayer right then. I said, "Lord, help me not to mess the board up again. I don't want to sin against you. Lord, I just want to please you. You have done so much for me." And you know, God was doing so much in my life that I didn't really know what was happening in my life. I just knew he was at work in me, and I knew I was enjoying every minute of it. And I prayed another prayer, and I said, "Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I love it. Keep on doing it. Don't stop working in me. I like this new life you've given to me." And a zeal was born in my spirit. And excitement about Jesus came inside of me. And then after a few weeks and a few months of living like that, I began to get fearful and saying, "What if I lose this zeal?" And I started praying again, "Lord, please don't let me lose this enthusiasm and this zeal for you. I don't want to be like so many believers that I've seen after 5 or 10 years that just settle in to a familiar place and they have no more fire burning in them. And they're just going through the motions of serving God." I said, "God, I don't want to be one of those ones that's just going through the motion. Please don't let that happen to me." And I'm going to tell you, every now and then, the Lord had to pay me a visit. When I start slipping and I start losing my zeal, all it takes is a little time in the presence of God and you'll get it all back. Amen. All it takes is you rededicating yourself to the Word and getting back in that Word and committing yourself to the house of God. David said, the zeal of your house have consumed me. He was zealous about the house of God. He had a great zeal about coming to the place of worship. And we've seen in our day, people have lost their zeal for the house of God. They can take it or leave it. They can turn the TV on and go to church. Get on the internet and go to church. And they have no affection for the house of God. They're not faithful to it anymore. But I'm going to tell you something. The house of God is important to God. If it ain't important to us, let's all watch TV. Let's all get on the internet. What kind of work would we do for the Lord that way? You have to have a zeal for God and the things that please Him. And I like what Jesus said. I do always those things that please Him, those things that He's in agreement with. So if God is not in agreement with it, I ain't going to be doing it. And you see, there'll be some people say, "Well, yeah, I know the Lord ain't agreeing with this here," but you know what? They're satisfying their flesh. "Yeah, but you know, the Lord know I got needs. I know I ain't living right now, but, you know, the Lord understand." Well, what He understand is that you're just selfish and you're just thinking about yourself and you haven't considered Him and you don't fear Him. If you can live a sinful lifestyle and it don't bother you, you have lost the fear of God. If you can do what you're doing and know God watching you and it don't bother you no more, I'd be scared. If you can do something you know is wrong and you can do it and you say, "Well, you know, the Lord watching," you say, "Well, I don't care if you," I'm going to tell you, you're in trouble. You're being taken captive. You're being swept away. So consider yourself. 1 John 3:22 says, "And whatever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing, that are agreeable in his sight." We do those things. Notice here, whatever we do in his sight. You see, that was another thing that the zeal of God brings into your life, is an awareness of God's presence that you have to honor and you have to reverence. I can remember after I got saved that the devil would come and entice me with my former lifestyle, my former way of living. And he would say, "Go do this." And I think about it and I say, "Well, if I did that, I had to do it with God watching me. Can't do that." No. I had to do that with God watching. No, I can't do that with God watching me. No. I had a fear of God, and that was reverence. See, that reverence protects you and becomes a boundary for you, a wall of protection against sin. Amen. When you have a desire to please him, there's another desire that goes hand in hand with that desire. When you really have a desire to please God, you also have a desire to obey. You can't desire to please him and not be obedient. If you really desire to please God, then you want to do what he says.
Amen.
Amen. You remember Peter and them, when they were threatened, they was in a hard place. And they said, "We command you not to teach and preach in that name anymore." And they said, "Hey, which is it better, to obey you or God?" We ought to obey God rather than man. We're going to keep doing what God told us. No matter what you do to us, we are not going to stop obeying God. What happened? They had such a zeal on the inside of them that wasn't even afraid of dying. Before Peter got filled with the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't even admit that he knew Jesus. But now he got that power on the inside. That zeal come from the Holy Spirit. Now he got that zeal in him. He said, "Y'all do what you want to do, but we can finna obey God." He ain't ashamed of Jesus now. He's the one that got up and preached on the day of Pentecost. The coward. The coward turned bold. The coward turned fearless. Number five, consider your end. Deuteronomy 32:29 says, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." So when you consider your ways, also consider your end. In other words, if I keep living this way, what's going to be the end? What's going to be the reward of my lifestyle at the end? So you need to consider the end. God will show you the end. You see, the day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, God showed me my end. He told me, he said, "Boy, you turn this car around," because he just showed me. He said, "On the path that you're on," he said, "you're going to end up dead or in jail." And I could see way down that road there. I wasn't, at the time, I wasn't even doing any criminal type stuff. I wasn't even a bad person. But the Lord let me see way down the road that if I continued on this path, that I was heading for destruction. And he shouted at me. He said, "Boy, turn the car around right now. And you go back to that Bible study where that man told you he's going to be teaching on the Holy Spirit." I whipped it around. I said, "I don't want to die. I don't want to go to jail. I definitely didn't want to go to jail. I believe jail scared me more than death." It did. Because an experience I had when I was about 7, took us up to a field trip in school. I lingered behind. I didn't stay up with the group. Was going slow because I was really watching everything in there. And one of them reached his hand through the bars. Say, "Come here, boy. Come in here, I'm gonna get you." Boy, you talk about scared me. That man scared the hell out of me. We I started crying and running. He said, you come in here, I'm going to get you. I thank God for that man. I don't know who he is. But ever since then, I said, look, my friend talking about doing anything illegal, let me out the car right now. I ain't going. Look, y'all go ahead. Oh, I smell pot in that. I'll walk home. I was at a party in Boise one night and with my buddies, you know, we all went there and they got hooked up with some of them guys up there and they smoking marijuana, you know, and I smell that stuff when I was getting ready to get in the car, we're getting ready to go home. I said, oh no, I said, man, I ain't getting into y'all smoke. Y'all know I don't do that. Oh, T is going to be all right. Ain't nobody going to give you none. You know, T is going to be all right. We know you don't do that. Just come on, get in. I said, man, if the police stop y'all, y'all going to jail. I ain't going to jail for nobody. How you going to get home? I don't know. I'm going to call my mama. And that's what I called my mama. Mama, come get me. My mama had to drive by 12 o'clock at night. Come get me from boys. You going to jail. I ain't doing nothing illegal. I just want to ask you today, are you on the right track? You can answer that. Are you on the right track? Are you running the race the Lord set before you? Where are your current actions going to lead you? What would be your final outcome? Will you finish your course with joy on the current path you're on? Just answer the question. Where are you? What's going to be the final outcome? Are you going to be with Jesus? What's the proper response to this message today? I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give it to you from Jesus. In Revelations 3, 19 and 20, it says, those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten. I discipline and instruct them. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent. Change your mind and attitude. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears and listens to and heeds my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will eat with him and he will eat with me. So Jesus said here, he give us the key to how to get your zeal restored. He said to repent, be zealous, and do the first works. That's what he said. He told them how to correct what was wrong. Jesus said, you left your first love. This church was doing so good. He said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not and has found them liars. And you have borne and has had patience and for my name's sake have labored and have not fainted. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you. So you can be doing that, working, laboring, having patience, living by faith, walking in love, putting away evil. You can learn to do all of these things out of habit and not out of desire for God. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. So all the works, all the labor, all the walking in love, all of that, you still got to maintain your zeal for God. This is what he's talking to them about. So then he deals them the solution. He said, remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen and repent and do the first works. Amen. That's the solution right there. We make up our mind today, Lord, I'm going to give you my all. I repent. I make a change for the better. I'm going to rededicate myself. God's talking to you right now where you need to intensify, where you need to take it to another level. Amen? Take it to another level today. Hallelujah. And then do those first works. Go back to doing those things that he told you to do, and you'll see that he'll restore your zeal. The zeal of God will come back in you. Hallelujah. So, what do? You say, Pastor, I've lost my zeal. My desire to please God ain't strong as it used to be. Then you need your zeal restored. You need to be running over. How many of you know that's out there in the world? You know, there ain't many people that's got a lot of zeal. Got a lot of Christians, but the zeal level is low. I'm going to tell you, I'm getting my zeal back. Because like I say, the Lord had to visit me every now and then. He had to All these things he said he did, whom I love, I tell them their faults. I convict them, I convince them, I reprove them, I chase them, I discipline and I instruct them. God done did all that to me. And I thank God because that let me know that I'm his. Amen. Praise God. But I'm going to tell you, today's the day to say, Lord, I want my zeal back. I want to get my fire back. I want to get my passion back for you. I've lost some of my zeal. I'm going to tell you, the zeal of God should consume you. You should be consumed with enthusiasm. You should be boiling over with enthusiasm for God. Amen. And then when you got that, then it's evident to everybody. Man, they fired up by Jesus. They fired up by Jesus. Boy, that person loved Jesus. See, zeal is something that you can't hide. You cannot hide. You cannot cover up the zeal of God. Because the zeal of God was meant to come out of you to impact those that are around you with good works. Make the decision to return to your first love. See what Jesus told me, said, you left your first love. You don't love me like you used to love me. You've been distracted. You maybe even become wearied and you begin to faint because of trial and tribulation. Or sometimes people fall in traps of sin and they lose their affection for God. I'm gonna tell you, get your affection back today. Put your mind back on Jesus. Get excited and enthusiastic about pleasing God again. And you put that word pleasing in your mouth. Lord, I just want to please you. Lord Jesus, I love you more than anything. Then you just start talking that way. You begin to speak about the zeal of God and about, I'm excited about Jesus. You just start saying, I'm excited about Jesus. I'm thankful for what God's doing in my life. Boy, I'm glad God saved me. God is good to me. You start bragging on God. That's how you stir up your zeal, by talking about him. And then consider your ways and repent. To repent means to change your mind and to make a change for the better. You will not seek to please yourself, but you will seek to please God. And then do the first works. Go back to reading. Go back to praying. Go back to confessing the word. Go back to fellowshipping and praising God. Discipline yourself. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. And if you're already doing that, you say, well, Pastor, I'm already doing that. Then I say intensify. That means take your reading. Take your praying. Take your worship to another level. I mean, go to another level. And everybody got another gear. Listen, I was coaching a baseball team when Gabriel was younger. I was a coach. And we had a guy on our team. He was big. Big old guy. And one day, he hit the ball all the way to the fence. People thinking he gonna get an inside the park home run. And they almost threw him out at second base. I was a third base coach, and everybody was telling me, say, run! This is a triple, at least. Run, boy, run! Run! Everybody, run! And he barely got to the base and stepped on the base, man tagged him. He was safe. And then I looked at him, I said, man, you ain't got another gear? You just one speed. All you got is one speed. I mean, you see the ball at the fence. You know. Sometimes you just run, take your time. But when you know, hey, this is a triple, you hit that other gear. You say, I'm gonna hit another gear here because I'm going for this triple. And so I hollered at him. I said, what's up? You ain't got another gear? Everybody in behind me, all the parents started laughing. Say, no, Pastor, he ain't got another gear. We were so proud of that big boy, though. He hit that ball and almost got out. So what I'm telling you is, every believer have another gear that you can go to. There's another level of commitment that you can achieve. There's another place that you can go in the spirit if you'll refocus yourself and reestablish why God called you. And put your mind back on Jesus and make it about pleasing him and not yourself. You'll go to another, level. Now, I had to tell you about this because I thought about this. I remember the first time Gabriel hit the ball. Well, he actually hit a single. He kind of hit it in the gap. It was a single. And when Gabriel went around the base, around first base, I said, he got a single, his first hit. And when I seen him go around first base, he hit another gear. I said, look at my boy. Look. I said, he's trying to stretch a single into a double. I said, look at him dig. And when I seen him round first base, and the coach ain't even had to tell him. He said, this is a double. And I seen him go around first base digging for everything he had. Boy, I'm going to tell you, I was in the stand. I started crying. Tears come all out in the CC. I started crying. Look at my boy. Look at my boy. Stretching a single into a double. Look at him get it. That's the way God feels about us when he see us go to another level in pursuing him. I'm going to tell you, he become our biggest cheerleader. We was Gabriel's biggest cheerleader in the stands. When I seen him giving his best, giving his all to stretch a single into a double. And he made it. And he slid in and he was safe. And he did one of them pop up and then you could see him wiping his dust off. Pulled his batting glove off, putting it in his pocket. I said, boy, you on, boy. You got it, boy. Boy, daddy, proud of you, boy. I'm crying up there in the stand. I say, what just happened to me? I done seen singles stretch into a double before, but that was mine. That was my boy. Boy, I started crying. I couldn't fight back the tears. I said, I hope ain't nobody watching past out here. And just point at him. You mine. That one mine. That one doesn't belong to me. That's my boy.
That's right.
That's the way God is. Didn't he do that with Job? Did you consider my servant Job? I'm proud of that boy. That Job, there ain't nobody like him in all of earth. Well, I'm going to tell you, God would get zealous about you when you are zealous about him. You can take it to another level. And when you do, you'll please the heart of God. And then let me tell you, Gabriel could have got anything he wanted out of me that day. Boy, where you want to go eat? Just name the spot. What you want? You want a new glove? What you want? Anything you want. You got it, boy. I'll never forget that moment. That's the way God is with us. Take it to another level. Dig in. Stretch a single into a double. Give it all you got. Give God your best effort in serving him. Don't slough on God. He been too good to you for that. Don't give him second best. Always give him your best. Devote yourself to him and love him with all your heart and have the zeal of God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. Father, we just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the will of God. Father, you spoke to me about this. You called me on the carpet. You talked to me about my own zeal level. And Lord, I repented. I repented before you, and I told you I was sorry that I had allowed some things to slip. Lord, I'm asking you to minister to your people this morning exactly what they need. I'm asking you to speak to them, to show them how much you love them, to reveal your goodness even in this moment right here. I'm asking you to stir up their passion for you. Because, Lord, we need your zeal. Let your zeal consume us today. Let us boil over with enthusiasm and joy in knowing you. Thank you for that today, Lord. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I let my zeal slip. I'm just going to ask you to come down here and let's pray. Just get out of your seat and come on down here and we're going to pray. We're going to rededicate ourselves to the Lord and we're going to ask God to restore the fire and then we're going to make a commitment. We're going to make a commitment to God We're going to make a commitment to him. Amen. We're going to do the first one.